Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at the November-December 2014 edition of the Fair Mormon Journal. It's an online journal. At least I have the online copy in front of me. The article was written by Scott Gordon, who is the president of FAIR, which is the Foundation for Apologetics Information Research. And basically what he has done towards the end of 2014, he's put together a top 10 list of arguments he finds unpersuasive. And so we are going through his list, just making some comments here and there. And I would say that we would probably agree with some of them, that they are not very strong arguments the way he has them listed and standing alone. I think some of the context is missing on some of them, which would probably make these a little bit stronger arguments, but he does not include those. So it's his list. He can do whatever he wants with it. But today we are looking at point number 7.
It says, Mormons are followers of Satan because they have inverted stars, which are upside-down stars where the point is facing down, or pentagrams on the Nauvoo Temple. And he goes on and says, the idea of an inverted star as a symbol of Satan is an idea that has been put forward by the film industry in modern times. If it were true, it would have put us in league with other institutions like the Boy Scouts of America, the United States military, the Republican Party, and the Lutheran and Catholic churches, who all have inverted stars in their iconography. The original connection between the inverted pentagram and Satan is a 19th century invention by Eliphas Levi, a defrocked priest. He did not begin publishing references to this idea until 1854, a decade after the death of the prophet Joseph Smith. It was later used and made famous in many Hollywood movies. We will have to blame Hollywood for this claim.
I certainly hope he's just being facetious with that sentence, because if he's serious, I would say that that would certainly be a very unpersuasive argument to blame it on Hollywood. But he's right, as far as Eliphas Levi in 1854. In fact, we have an article on our website called The Nauvoo Pentagrams, and we certainly don't have time today to go into everything that I've written in that article. But if you go to mrm.org, in the search box, type The Nauvoo Pentagrams, the article that I wrote on this subject pops up. And I do detail the time period of when the inverted five-pointed star started being looked upon as an evil symbol. But when it comes to this, I don't think the Mormon Church should get off the hook. They have made this bed and they need to lie in it. And what I mean by that is they knew when the Nauvoo Temple was being rebuilt in 2002 that at that point the inverted five-pointed star did have an evil connotation to it. Now, they can argue, if they choose, that maybe when Joseph Smith was alive and the temple was built the first time, it may not have had that. But it certainly does have that today. Consider also, the Salt Lake Temple also has inverted five-pointed stars on its building, and that wasn't finished until 1893, which is decades after even Scott Gordon admits Eliphas Levi came out with this idea and trying to make it some kind of an evil symbol.
We had a chance in 2002 to tour the Nauvoo Temple, and if you walk through there, everything is a pentagram. Even in the curtains, they had embroidered pentagrams, and it was actually kind of spooky for those of us who understand what a pentagram is, which is the most powerful symbol in occultism. It just doesn't feel right to have that in a building that is supposed to be so holy.
Now, let's talk about what he says here. He argues that they've been accused that they are followers of Satan because they have inverted stars. I would never say that. Some people may have said that. Certainly, I don't know of any respected ministries that make that a real strong point. There could be some, I don't know. But we certainly don't do that. But let me talk about that inverted star, because I wanted to address this in the article. And when I said earlier that the Mormon Church has really made this problem for themselves. Let me read to you what I put in this article. I said, when I heard that the LDS Church was going to rebuild the Nauvoo Temple using its original design, I felt that they were going to find themselves between a rock and a hard place when it came to the pentagrams. If they kept them, they would be criticized for its now universal association to evil. If they changed them, it would be construed as somehow recognizing something was amiss. However, make no mistake about it, there is good reason to believe that Gordon Hinckley, who was the 15th president of the church and the president at the time, knew full well that this symbol would cause controversy. He could have easily avoided it, but he chose not to. In his book titled Windowmaker by Charles W. Allen, he tells how he was commissioned by the LDS Church to build the leaded glass stars that encircle the outside of the Nauvoo Temple. The original plan was to stick as closely as possible to the original design, so Allen commenced to put together stars that would be placed in an inverted fashion. However, Allen notes on page 182 of his book how on Tuesday, May 8th, 2001, he was approached by three men from his church. This is what he wrote in his book. Ron Prince, Corey Carl, and Keith Steppen were in the shop this morning to see how I was doing and to take a look at the colored glass in the star sash. They really liked what they saw. Keith asked me whether, if President Hinckley wanted to have the star pointed in an up position, that would be possible. I said yes, that all I had to do is to rotate the sash. He made a recorded note of that for his next meeting with President Hinckley. There is some concern by members of the Temple Committee that the upside-down star would be interpreted as a satanic symbol which some cults believe in today. So Gordon Hinckley, if he was informed by these men who talked to the person who made the windows in the Nauvoo Temple, if they did relate that message to Gordon Hinckley, I would have to assume that Gordon Hinckley knew perfectly well what he was doing when he gave the final order. We have to assume it came down to his decision to put the stars upside down. They're the ones that caused the problem for themselves. They could have avoided it if they chose, but they chose not to. Am I going to say that they are worshiping Satan because of it? No, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Point number 8.
It says Mormons aren't Christian because they accept Satan's lie that men may become as gods. It says in Genesis chapter 3, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. People who make this claim fail to read a little further in that same chapter in their Bible, where it says in verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. This claim is backed up by God.
Now, let me just say, this is certainly an unpersuasive argument on the part of Scott Gordon, because for one, humans in Mormon theology are not gods right now.
Right.
They don't become gods in the true sense of the Mormon word until after they die. So to attribute Adam and Eve with being gods like Elohim would certainly be inconsistent with Mormon theology. Furthermore, we have plenty of verses in our Bible that makes it very clear that there is only one God and there will be no other gods. Verses that we have cited many times would include the Isaiah passages. In the Joseph Smith translation, you can find that the verses that we often cite as a ministry and a lot of Christians cite that show that there were no gods before God, neither will there be any gods after God, they read almost exactly the same in the Joseph Smith translation or the inspired version of the Bible as they read in the King James Version.
Well, it starts with Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me.
Neither shall there be after me. There will be no gods after the God of the Bible, the God who is referenced in Isaiah 43:10. What about later on in Isaiah 44?
In Isaiah 44, verse 6, it says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God.
And now, I liked how you emphasize besides, because if you were to look in the King James, you will find that it's not besides with an S, it's beside, no S. It's not a big deal, except for the fact that it shows us that Joseph Smith at least touched this verse. He made an alteration. He knew what it said. It's not like he overlooked it or missed it.
And so a Latter-day Saint would say possibly, well, he might not have known about that passage. This is proof his fingerprints are on it.
Or maybe he would come back to it later on, as some Mormons like to argue.
But we know in Documentary History of the Church, Volume 1, page 368, that the Bible was finished by Joseph Smith.
That's what he said.
And he does the same touch on verse 8. It says, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any."
Again, he uses the besides rather than beside, showing again that he touched it. Now let's talk about this passage that Mr. Gordon cites from Genesis. "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And again, he cites, people who make this claim fail to read a little further in that same chapter of their Bible, where it says in verse 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil." Notice there's only two attributes that are listed here. We don't get the impression from these two passages, as Mormons would probably like us to get, that all of a sudden Adam and Eve had all the attributes of God, attributes that we would say as Christians make God God.
And it's present tense. Ye shall be as gods. The man is become as one of us.
He's become one of us in the area of knowing good and evil. But the Mormons want to read into this passage, what we would call a classic case of eisegesis, to make it read and say more than what the text is actually telling us. The text is not at all giving us the impression that Adam and Eve at that time became a being similar in attributes to Elohim. There's no indication of that whatsoever. The Mormon has to read that into the passage. So I would say that that's a weak argument on the part of Mr. Gordon to try and make it sound that it's perfectly okay to believe that men can become gods. That's not really what that passage is saying. And obviously we know from the New Testament that we do well if we believe there's only one God. We don't do well if we believe there are many gods. If you don't like that argument, take it up with the Apostle James. Tomorrow we are going to conclude our look at this list put together by Mr. Scott Gordon, the president of FAIR.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to learn more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Then please listen, because on Saturday, February 7th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 1, in West Jordan, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes information on the Book of Mormon, the nature of the Godhead, and how the LDS version of salvation compares with the Bible. Now again, it all takes place on February 7th, at Jordan Presbyterian Church, located at 3671 Old Bingham Highway in West Jordan. Everyone who comes will receive a complimentary copy of the notes, and refreshments will also be served. If you'd like more information, please go to mrm.org and click on the link that says Calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. No doubt, you won't want to miss this excellent opportunity to better understand the Mormon religion. We hope to see you there.